it's a little bit of a blur. You know, I went in and I said something, and then I guess the big thing is, you know, what came out of the PNB and the discussions afterwards with national office. We have gone from a two-day archives fund drive day to a one-day fund drive day. And that did occur because, you know, we actually did talk to all the general managers of the stations, and we did, you know, Bonnie will understand this. Looking at the timeline, there's no way we can produce 42 hours mid-August, even in the best world. We have sort of bought some time, if you will. We're doing a one-day fund drive, lowering the goal, and then the added bonus is that, you know, Brian is, you know, working much more in major donorship and campaign for the archives, and also special events, which is sort of one of the next big announcements. In September 8th, I will be in San Francisco at the San Francisco Art Exchange for an exhibit called 67, 68, 69, The Years That Molded a Generation. They're having a major photo exhibit, and the archives has most of the audio from the photographs that they're presenting. Timothy Leary, the Black Panthers, Martin Luther King, Robert F. Kennedy.
Cool.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, 1968 Preservation Project, I told you so.
Oh my God.
So they're doing an exhibit on 68. I happen to have just done all the work on 68, so I was able to give them, basically the archives is producing all the audio for the gallery exhibit, and the PR company that's working with both of us is giving their work pro bono donated, so we have a press release, and the opening night is going to benefit the archives, and all sales for the entire weekend, 10% of all the art sales, will be donated to the Pacifica Radio Archive.
Oh, no way!
Yeah.
Incredible.
So I'll copy you the press release as when we finish it. Actually, they were getting ready to release it a few days ago, and they sort of found me. We found each other, and they're changing the press release to include KPFA and the archives as, you know, participants in the exhibition, which will be there for, I don't know, like 2 or 3 months or something. Running through September 8th through October 13th.
What's the place?
It's the San Francisco Art Exchange on Geary Street in San Francisco. So that's September 8th. And then in conjunction with the PNB meeting in New York at the end of September, I heard a rumor that it might be in Houston, but I'm going with the official word of a New York PNB. There's a place called the Rapture Cafe, which is a bookstore that is famous for poetry readings, very Avenue A, Lower East Side, avant-garde poet place. I will be doing a sound performance a Friday and a Saturday night on the Beat Poets on the radio, and doing benefit performance also to benefit the archives. And so I'm on the lineup, booked two nights. So I feel like a vaudeville act all of a sudden. But basically, we're having little radio happenings, and, you know, because they're the poetry reading place, we're devoting it to the newly discovered oldest recording of Charles Bukowski and the Beat Poets in City Lights Bookstore. Just in a short month since last we talked, there's two fundraising events happening in a single month that basically don't cost me anything other than my time, effort, and creativity.
Okay, question. On the San Francisco Art Exchange thing, they were already doing this photo exhibition, and they came to you to provide audio, or you heard about it and went to them?
Good question. All right, so the Jensen Communications, which is the PR company that worked with me on the Sound of Soul Adopt-A-Tape Party with Allie Willis, they were the one, right, Michael Jensen. So very good. So Michael Jensen, you know, worked pro bono for free on that event and helped us get in Billboard magazine. So one, he's really good, and two, he really paid off, and three, it didn't cost us anything. So he was working with the San Francisco Art Exchange and made the connection of all the stuff that he was listing of the photographs. He said, you know, I know this guy, Brian, who has a lot of this stuff. You should talk to him. And that's how it happened.
Okay, so the other I'm sorry if I'm just speaking out here. A reason to go with the original schedule to have the meeting in New York is that we get more exposure for the archives on this Bukowski Beat Poets
right
thing.
I would not put it up at the top of the list of why the PNB should stay in New York, but I think I'm going to have to go to New York one way or the other and meet you guys in Houston on the way back or something, because it's, you know, I think the opportunity is too important. There's basically the Rapture Cafe has a very high-end clientele in poetry. So, you know, sort of in terms of major donorship, you know, I only really need to find two or three people in the country to help save the archive. They just need to be the right two or three people. You guys know that.
Sure.
And I think, you know, as I sort of find myself in pockets of interest, poetry, who care about Bukowski, I might find that one person. You know, the room is only big enough to hold 65 people anyway. So it's just sort of a matter of just keep trying and keep going out there and keep experimenting with something. Even if it is finding somebody that who just moved to New York, didn't know a damn thing about Pacifica, and now has just been introduced and will listen and donate to WBAI.
All right, so
I have another new discovery to tell you about that's pretty exciting. The White House tapes. I think, Wendy, you already heard about this.
Oh,
you know what?
God.
I'm just going to send you the notice to the Archives Committee to make sure everybody reads it.
Oh, my God.
But we just had a new discovery of finding the Nixon White House tapes when they were released in the 73. KPFK here in Los Angeles went all out and was the first media outlet to present them to the public. For free, with Mama Cass Elliott and Harry Shearer and Burns and Shriver and a whole bunch of other Hollywood people reading the White House tapes. So that's very interesting, and we'll be working with those materials for the Fund Drive Day. Democracy Now! Is already interested in it as a Democracy Now! Story to help promote the Archives Fund Drive Day. So we'll sort of like branch out to Democracy Now! Full listenership with this specific tape.
Incredible. You have the 18 minutes that was erased.
You know what? They actually did do something creative with the 18 minutes. They did creative. They did sort of like an index of sound effects that would mean certain expletives.
Oh.
And then the 18 minutes that were missing, they actually did do something so that the listener knew that that was the time that was deleted.
Okay.
So when we get it done, it's going to be fantastic. I can't wait to sort of like hear. And I must say, Mama Cass Elliott as H.R. Haldeman, come on, folks. That should get us in Billboard magazine again already.
It was all above the corner.
Right.
Oh, great.
All right, so what next? The 1968 Project is going full. All right, so back to the fund drive. So the one-day fund drive, we're working to gather right now a team of producers that will help us produce content. So we already sort of have those feelers out, and I think we have a team of four very good producers that will help us get this day done and in the can and promoted and all of that. A lot of it will be previewing the 1968 project, so the work that we're already doing will be for the fund drive as well as for all of 2008, but we'll be previewing some of the major highlights of that project. Obviously, with the San Francisco Art Exchange, that's another way to promote. Since we'll have the list, the mailing list of the Art Exchange, we can actually promote how they can listen to a lot more of the 68 Project by listening to the Archives Fund Drive Day.
Incredible.
So it's multi-platformed, multi-textual.
Can I make another comment about the Archives Fundraising Day?
Uh-huh.
We at the National Board were very interested to find that one of our stations was passing resolutions at their local station board about how many days the archives would be allowed to fundraise.
Right.
And I just want to say that, I mean, we have people here from LSBs. How inappropriate that really is. You know, the archives needs to raise money to be able to do all these exciting things that we're talking about, and it's really not up to the stations to determine how many. You know, it was quite a shocker there at the meeting to see that one of our stations had passed this motion that was just saying, hey, you know,
Wendy,
they don't need to do that, you know. And there's a lot of considerations, and I wish that people on this committee would speak up at their local stations about this kind of thing.
Was that reported at the PNB meeting Monday?
It was. KPFA passed a series of motions about things that were, people at KPFA on this committee could talk more about that, but for them to say that, the archives don't really need to do any more fundraising than that because they should be able to get their money in other places was, really inappropriate.
I think we'd want to find the motions rather than paraphrasing.
Yeah. Can I raise a related thing here? I mean, I agree with Wendy, but, it does raise for me an issue that we've talked about before, and I think with a new ED coming in, it's going to be an appropriate time to raise it again. And I did mention this to, Bethune, that we need to have a development director specifically for the archive. The Pacifica Development Director is not an appropriate person. An archive development director is something quite different. And I would really like to push, if things look like they're getting a little bit better in terms of the financial condition of Pacifica, that during the budget revise, at some point that we try and bring this up again. It's absolutely critical.
Thanks, Sharna. I put that in the notes. Actually, note-taking again for a moment.
So one more question. So in response to what Bonnie said, that we should have the motion before talking about it, did that motion from KPFA not come to this committee? Even just to say, hey, here's what we did?
No, these are motions that came from the treasurer.
But the board passed them, right?
That were passed in an LSB meeting. There were a number of different subjects.
Okay, if we could get the ones to this committee that were specific to the archives, I think that would be helpful.
Okay.
If you want, I can get them, I guess.
Yeah, I just can't quite put my finger on them, so.
Okay, well, I'll find them and send them.
All right, so but let me just sort of jump in real quickly. So for the most part, we know that was an issue. I really did get a little bit of the devil in me and got angry about it and sort of exposed KPFA LSB for making the motion that was making my job very, very difficult at the time. But, ultimately, when we decided to go back to one day, it really didn't have anything to do with that. It's not, acquiescing or sort of giving in or anything like that.
I've got a copy of the motion here.
Okay. But really, it was about our ability to do the job and do it well and succeed. And with the resources we have and the time we had, I just couldn't do 2 days. But ultimately, Wendy, I think it really is about, that sort of governance. What power does the LSB have to make motions that affect the national intentions?
Mm-hmm.
The national unit and blah, blah, blah. So it really is sort of like a national versus local issue, governance issue that, you guys get to take up and I get to step back and do whatever it is I do.
Well, I thought the committee should be aware of it, so.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Thank you.
And I can't remember all of them, but
I have it in front of me.
Bill Backs, National Programming Bill Backs, National Election Bill Backs,
archive
fundraising,
Free Speech Radio News increases, National Office, and KU Satellite costs, and they were all part of our approving the budget, the 08 budget.
Right, but it's still kind of like, well, we don't want to give up our programming to let the archives do a fundraiser when, most of the stuff in the archives is from KPFA. I mean, the older things.
And if I'm not mistaken, didn't we at one time bring up in the meeting back when I was a regular member as an LSB member, wasn't that a matter of we had talked about how they had basically cannibalized the recordings because they were giving away as premiums. And here we were basically giving away some of our very most important assets, if I remember correctly.
I think that was a whole other issue, but
yeah.
I think it was.
We only have 10 minutes left, folks. One of the whereases in fiscal year 07, the days of on-air fundraising for PRA increased from 1 to 2. So it had a sense of just going back to an original arrangement.
Don White here.
Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, going back to Sherna's comments about development director for the archives, seems to me that the sooner we put this out on the table, even if it's a motion that is not fully developed, I've noticed in PNB work, sometimes you just have to put out a motion that calls for a study or calls for an investigation or something, but then it gets out there and it's on the table and then people are beginning to internalize. So I would recommend, and I don't know if we can do it in this meeting, in as much as we have, like, I guess, 10 minutes left, but I would recommend very quickly that this task force present, that we directors present a motion to the PNB that includes the concept that we should be studying and moving toward a development director for archives. And I don't have wording to project, but... it seems like if we don't do something concrete like that, we'll have another meeting where it will be brought up and another meeting. So I would recommend that we try to develop ASAP wording that actually goes before the PNB so that we can refer back to it and so on.
Don?
Yes.
Let me also look at Bonnie, maybe you have passed notes. I swear that we had this discussion 2 years ago, and we may have even had a motion.
A motion. I don't know if I remember if there was a motion.
Or maybe I had included it in those talking points, I think, that I wrote up. Maybe, let me look for that. Maybe we can circulate something via email and formalize that motion at the next meeting.
Right. And
I
we
think
could...
that would be sensible.
And right. In fact,
so
it...
Coming in, we really should have this out there.
Right. This is Brian. I think that what I can do is send a few notes, because I think what we want to do is really assess the restructuring of the archives staff. You know, in other words, when we're looking at it, we just don't hire a development director. We sort of look at, you know, Brian, and we look at Mark, and we look at everybody, what they're doing, and,
right.
and Sean, and then figure out, all right, so we can get a development director and a cataloger, and that will fix those three things, and then Brian can do that. So with a development director, there is sort of like that also movement of what I'm doing. Like, more or less, folks, I'm doing 60% development, you know, 25% archiving, and the rest is all in, you know, program producing. So ultimately, it is sort of like siphoning and splitting me up, but it's actually what I want. You know, and the PNB members know that I'm sort of in that, I've already been at the point of frustration to the point of wanting to leave. Because we haven't assessed the network, the archives growth in the past 5 years, where the opportunities are taking us, and what we have to do to restructure to get to the next level. So that's what I want to happen, is really sort of like that cogent assessment of what we're doing on the whole, not just the quick Band-Aid of get a development director to raise money and then that'll fix it all. So, and I'm not implying that that's what you meant, Don. But I think the better motion is to that sort of formal national office assessment of the archives organizational chart is
yes,
the better way.
That there's a specific function of development among the other functions.
Well, yes, I agree with you, Brian. Partly we have to have something in place so that if the outstanding team we have in place now leaves. If you decide to leave in a year, there has to be a job description for your position. And if it's going to be 60% development, that's got to be understood. If it's not that, but if it's more like 50% administration, 50%
right, right.
development, whatever, then we have to have a job description for development, because what we have to do is plan for the day, which we all hope does not come, where you will be moving on, and that will leave the archives with whatever is in place to replace you. And so we need to really be thinking of positions, job descriptions, how is development going to be, you know, ultimately dealt with in a post-Brian regime, so to speak.
Right, right. So meeting with National Office, I guess, last week, and Addie and Lonnie and Greg and Phil, we did sort of come up with a pseudo plan of, you know, over the next, you know, 5 or 6 months, you know, I'm going to be working with Pilar Gonzalez as a consultant for major donorship coaching to sort of really come up with a plan for the archives that we could give to a development director. In other words, let's create the program. You know, I'll you know, Pilar and I will sort of figure it out, and then we actually have a position to fill. To bring on a development director that may or may not know what Pacific is about, you know, 6 months of training into what the archives is about, is not where we really want to begin. I've given too much effort into the development of the archives to where, you know, I think that I can create those programs to where either I can move forward with one part of it and become the development director, and leave the other things. I really hated administration. I don't mind admitting it on a stream.
You're an archivist.
Hate it. You know, so if I can get an office administrator to free me up to do some of the development stuff, then I think that that may be one of the ways that we could grow the archives, and, you know, without, you know, actually moving us to a bigger space. I don't know. So anyway, so what I have been thinking about is a lot, you know, in terms of my frustration to sort of bring to the board, you know, hey, wait a minute, either you're going to break me or we have to think about this harder. You know, so I've already been thinking about it of, you know, how do I get to a place where I don't get to that frustration point anymore. I feel like I'm in therapy all of a sudden.
Welcome to Pacifica,
well,
Brian.
Welcome to Pacifica.
Brian.
All right, so anyway, so it's going well, and I really appreciate y'all's input about that.
Maybe this is the time you could tell people about the cataloger thing.
Yes. Thank you very much for Sherna, who at the last Archives Task Force committed to working with me to move forward with the cataloger hire, which is not the same as an archivist, but it is the one of the professional Library of Sciences positions that, you know, Addie and myself and even this task force at some point and the PNB has already approved that that's the position we need. And it is true. So we've had a couple rounds of putting applications out and not getting qualified people, but we have done that again, and Sherna has already came in and collected the resumes and helped me go through them and start the process. So we'll be going into, hopefully, a hiring process pretty shortly. So thank you, Sherna.
Well, thank you.
And I guess that sort of covers everything, except the 1968 project is really building well, in terms of what we're going to do with the materials, you know, creating public service announcements for distribution. We really are getting quite engaged with people, experts, to work with us on what the Chinese Cultural Revolution really was and what materials we have and why they're important. So, you know, my focus right now really is in the 68 Project and looking at the historic record and reading all the books and knowing exactly what we have that is the missing link to a specific historic record. I think, you know, once we sort of get to the point where we have the materials together and we have sort of like the plan, I'll share it with y'all, and then we can sort of start talking about what role you can play in promoting the 68 Project at the local station. You know, how do those PSAs fit within your station's programming, making sure that they get played, and, you know, bringing it to the LSB also meeting so that the 68 Project actually is a network project, not just an archives project. What we're doing now will be giving the network a gift of a lot of materials, which will, again, put Pacifica back on an international map of media. Very excited about
it. It occurs to me that we should probably, if you could write something up so that we could put it on the agenda for the National Program Committee and talk about this so that it's out there in their minds. And we're trying to get the PDs on our call. That might help incorporate it.
Right. Nathan Moore, the National Program Coordinator, was here in the archives at the last PNB meeting and spent some time with us. So we just sort of discussed that issue, too. So I think that when we have the, whatever the document, this fancy document, this dream document that I have in my head, when we get that ready, I think it'll go to Nathan to take to the programming committee to share with everybody and, start the work.
Great. So that project's not till next September.
Is it
this September?
Well, actually, the 1968 project is happening now in terms of the archives part
because
of it.
Because that's even happening before our next LSB meeting. We need to really be good facilitators here.
Right. So basically, if you think about the 68 project starting in January of 08 as a network project, that's when we'll start rolling out monthly PSAs or weekly PSAs or monthly or quarterly hour programs or specials on a specific events, and I even want the resources. Here's the important thing. The resources that we're doing, we've actually intentionally pulled stuff that's local specific to a station rather than a national broadcast. So KPFA will have this woman poet named Alta from 1968, who is very important to Berkeley and San Francisco, but nobody else would know or care. So we're actually creating resources for both local and national programming. So as we sort of build that, the discussion, we really will get feedback from the local stations, hopefully, through you, possibly. But certainly we want you guys to be the people to sort of take the resources to the local people to let them know that there's actually a really cool thing they can use. And it isn't, preempt your program and let the archives do it. We're actually giving them the resources to filter, use, and create with the resources their own stories. Like the LGBT program in New York or in Houston should be aware of the programs from 68 that were relevant to the history of the LGBT community in Stonewall. 69 was Stonewall. The 68 recordings, how rare recordings pre-Stonewall era, the recordings about any ephemera stuff about the LGBT community is incredibly rare. What we have in the archives is almost like, the finding of Tutankhamun's tomb in terms of LGBT history. What happened at Stonewall was in New York. What fueled the fire before Stonewall, what was being broadcast on WBAI locally. So as we sort of do my homework on 68 and all these recordings, a single interview with a male hustler on WBAI in 68 and an interview with a prostitute in 68 on WBAI helped the movement in New York locally create Stonewall, which then, of course, created an entire movement. So 68 project is about 67, 68, and 69.
Cool.
It's very. I feel like I'm doing a graduate project or something, but it's very exciting, and I'm really excited to be able to utilize you guys as the link between me and folks at the station that I don't know yet. So we'll give you materials, and you'll get to be able to make sure people know what the resources are and make some of those connections with, oh, my God, that's a really great program. This programmer that I know that hosts this really cool program should know about it
and
play that clip.
Well, maybe be going to the stations now and suggest to figure out a way to build into the grid spot create programming.
Mm-hmm. I think, again, when we sort of get the resources together, the PDs will start sort of help figure out that.
Yeah.
In fact, Sasha Lilly from KPFA as we were describing, you know, all the events that we have worldwide, you know, Guatemala, Czechoslovakia, Russia, Paris, Mexico City. You know, it was Sasha Lilly that came up with the idea to do an hour program of a travel log. Basically, the listener will be going all over the world audio-ly in 1968. You know, you go back to 1968 and you travel the world and you listen to what happened in Paris and what happened in Mexico City. So it was a brilliant idea of presenting the materials in a way that we had not yet thought of in the archive.
A time capsule.
Yes, exactly. So there's a lot of ideas already generating, because I think the last PNB was the first time that I actually showed the Operations Council, the PDs and the GMs, the actual titles of the materials we were preserving. So it got them thinking about what to do with those materials and those resources. But ultimately, I think it will really be a red letter year for us next year in terms of history.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's a way to segue, but we're having a huge 40-year reunion of the Summer of Love.
Yes.
And so there's a lot of people are going to come out of the woodwork, and I don't know if we could set up a team to actually do some update interviews, which could be pretty interesting too.
Oh, that would be wonderful. That would be wonderful.
I know Bonnie and I were both in town in 68, so maybe we could put our
heads
together.
Yes, we were, and imagine that I could still put a sentence together.
Right. As a matter of fact, you know, that actually does come into expert consultations for the 68 Project. And actually
out at all the big Golden Gate things, and I danced in the light show, and so, I know all the faces and the names and everything.
I love it.
And
all right, so I'm
going
to be sending y'all
some
stuff, and Bonnie, I actually want to talk to you about being a consultant on the music from 68. Even
Ooh.
Though we really can't make available the resource of all the music from 68, when we do programming, you know, the resource for the programmers at our stations will be what Bonnie can help with by saying, all right, so you're going to be doing the program about the Chicago Democratic Convention and the riots and the Bobby Steele and the Black Panthers. I recommend the following music pieces, or I recommend you noting that this particular song was important to that riot or something.
Hey, Brian, what's the date
of
the fundraising day?
November 27th, excuse me.
Anything that's
Thanksgiving.
After, I'm just so happy it's after October 7th.
Yeah.
I'd be happy to help you now that I know that.
Yeah, great. let's see, November, yeah, that's a Tuesday after Thanksgiving, which is on a Sunday, I think.
Okay. Well,
Saturday.
Thanksgiving's usually Thursday, but.
This is one of those weird years.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Well,
wait a minute, it's the 22nd.
We could work in the.
Yes, the
22nd
is a Thursday, which is Thanksgiving, and the 27th.
Thanksgiving is always Thursday.
Right. So is it third Thursday.
Sorry.
And it's always nice to have special programming around then.
Right. All right, so ladies and gentlemen, are we sort of done?
Maybe.
Is there anything else you want to know?
I don't think I can process any more information. This is great.
All right.
Great.
Yes, there is plenty. Go ahead.
This is very exciting.
We'll kindly send along whatever notes you took.
Yes, I will.
Then I can pass them along to everybody.
All right, and actually, I do have one more big thing to tell you about. It looks like the archives will be creating the first published material. Let me start this over. I had a meeting with City Lights Bookstore, who has a nonprofit organization called City Lights Organization. We have the original recordings of all the City Lights authors. Denise Oliver, Diana DePrima, Ginsberg, Kerouac, Ferlinghetti.
Let's do that.
So what we are going to do is publish the audio through City Lights Bookstore.
Oh.
We're using City Lights expertise. In other words, we don't have any copyright restrictions because they're all their authors. They're the people that we actually ask. So we've had the meeting, and we're sort of at the sort of stage where we're going to present it to National Office for approval and, you know, the PNB, whatever the process is. But basically, we'll have a dual imprint, which in the publishing world is valuable as gold. The CDs and audio will be released through City Lights and Pacifica Radio Archives.
Wow.
We'll split the fees and start a revenue stream to do more publications of materials like the first published transcriptions of the Fannie Lou Hamer audio in the archives, or the first publication of the roundtable discussion about why you can't hear Howell and the FCC censorship of it. So they're very excited. It seems a natural marriage. You know, the whole issue of distribution of materials in different format, the publishing world is one that has only been touched by Pacifica in terms of its governance and the struggle for governance. There's very rarely, if ever, been a book about the content that Pacifica has contributed to the historic record. So we're going to change that, and it looks like we'll actually be, you know, on the boards as part of City Light's catalog.
Incredible.
Wow.
With, of course, proper attribution to KPFA and the archives and Pacifica. I'm very cognizant of the archives is not the only thing when we get to these meetings, that, you know, we press very strongly that, you know, KPFA, the archives, and Pacifica, there's actually a triple digit in terms of credit and attribution.
Fantastic, Brian.
Beautiful.
That, Bonnie?
Yes.
Can I just make one last comment? You know, I didn't mean to bring up anything negative in this thing, because everything about the archives is so inspiring to me. And all I want to say is that we tend to be really protective of our own stations, sometimes even militant in that way. And, you know, if any one of our stations or unit, if, you know, I hate that word units, but the archives is one of our units, if any of our units is goes down in any way, we kind of all go down. And the archives is the one thing that really brings us all together. And so I just, you know, would hope that when we're all advocating for our history and our archives, which is truly the great days of Pacifica, that we would kind of share this with our people at our own stations. And when we have these national days of fundraising and anything about the archives, the listeners love it.
Mm-hmm.
The listeners love it. And that's really what this is all about. And so that's all I just want us to keep remembering, is people really love this stuff that the archives brings us.
Thanks. We just got thanks, Wendy. We just got the data from the last fund drives at all the stations. Three of the stations pitched the From the Vault MP3 series premium. Huh. And it ended up being the Pacifica top premium this fund drive season. KPFA, KPFT, and KPFK did quite a lot of money on the Archives From the Vault programs.
Great.
So it's, you know, it's good little bread and butter money for us.
Indeed.
Payback, and the stations certainly benefited quite a bit from it. And we've got a lot of great feedback from the program directors and the GMs that I was able to pass on to the From the Vault producers, so they actually see the benefit of their work.
Cool.
And want to also thank everybody here for supporting that From the Vault at their stations.
Brian, in that regard, is there a way that you could give us a report next time or by email of what stations have been picking up From the Vault? The only ones I hear about are KPFK and KPFT.
Right. You know, it's honestly, Sherna, I almost have to ask on a weekly basis, because things change all the time at the stations. And I honestly, it's been over a year, and I still don't know. I don't know the answer. And it's a constant struggle. So,
a way of tracking what's downloaded from AudioBoard?
No. That's an issue that I would love to take up with Pete Caracas,
yeah,
who sort of restricts us knowing who exactly downloaded the program.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to do about that, actually.
Why don't you talk to Greg?
I've done that. I've certainly been talking about it for quite some time, and this is not one of the issues that Mr. Guma has decided to take on.
Yeah, I think I'm clear. I guess we don't want to open this topic.
Right. Yeah, I would not want to open this topic yet. I think there's an easier way to find that out.
We are working on such things in the technology committee.
Right. The affiliate program just did a carriage report from the vault, and we know that 26% of the affiliates broadcast from the vault, which is a lot. Considering 125 affiliates, 26% is a lot. But in that report, I'm not sure if we can get the information of the five Pacifica stations, whether or not they were included in that 26%.
I thought that that was just an affiliates run.
Yeah, I think that
but
is.
But I may have misread it.
Right. I think you're right, Bonnie, which is sort of like the question. We get a really great report about the affiliates, but I still can't find out from my own five stations what's going on, what's happening.
You know,
and even more to the point, the BBC is launching the program. They're doing a full website presence, and I still can't get Pacifica.org to add from the vault as part of Pacifica's national programming.
Oh,
it's
wow.
It's been over a year, and it's still not there. But Democracy Now! Is there. Free Speech Radio News is there. So if anybody has influence with Pacifica.org people, that would be a really good thing to propose.
We could raise it on the national. Bonnie and I are both on the national program committee, and we can raise it there. And Wendy is too.
Yeah, please do. I've been trying to get the pictures of the PNB members on the website for a while too.
Right.
Well, again,
I'm sort of definitely past the point of frustration and struggling with it. But I will hopefully present the opportunity that there are opportunities to do it. It would be a good thing to have presence on our own website if the BBC is driving traffic to us.
Right.
Hello.
Hello.
Brian, this is Michael Woodson. We did an open journal today, the LSB report, and we had a caller talk about how valuable the archives were and how he wanted to go online and buy some of our shows. And was saying what a treasure trove it was. So hang in there. It's instinctive. People know it. By the way, I told them about the archives website. And
oh, great.
Directed him to where he needed to go. So anyway, please hang in there. We know that this is something else.
Well, we know now about that, so that's good. Hey, thank you all so much.
Thanks, everybody.
Great meeting.
Good night.
Very inspiring.
Good night.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.